Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. That's some healthy money for him, hey?
Yes. Hey, good if you can get it. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess he had to know the market too, and kind of understand that as far as unrestricted defensemen go, or their ability to replace him, it probably wasn't going to be great. So dealing from a position of strength, I would say.
Yes, when you're the top, he was probably the top ranked free agent defenseman.
Yeah.
So I would say he had a little bit of a strength in that one. Before we get to the orders, I want to ask you: have you ever taken your kids to a lacrosse game?
I can't remember if I had my kids or not. I know I've been to a couple of lacrosse games, but I don't know that I brought my kids yet.
Okay. Now obviously you would go and cover them. Are you working the game tonight on TSN?
No.
No. Okay.
No, that's I believe Dave Randorf is in town, and I'm still on holidays. I'm in Sochi recovery mode still.
Okay, nice, good for you. Mm-hmm. Have you because I asked our audience, and we got different answers from people. Why they haven't gone to a lacrosse game? Your
sure.
Kids not interested? Just curious.
Why would it be? Honestly, neither of my boys play. We just kind of haven't gotten around to doing it yet. I certainly wouldn't have any issues taking them. I've been there, and it's a fun sport. It's a good sport to watch. So, honestly, I don't have a really good reason for you.
Okay. No, I was just curious. I'd like to ask the question for different
yeah.
people. Have you taken them to an Oiler game this year?
They've been to Oiler games this year, but because I work all of them, I didn't take them. But
okay.
They went with uncles and
right.
friends and such. So, yeah.
Were any of them entertaining for them?
You know what? You know, I'm getting a sense of what you're driving at here.
Well, you know what's funny? Because one of my good buddies took his son to his first NHL game last night.
Yeah.
And his kid plays hockey. He's in novice. He was pretty excited. And, you know, now he went to the game, and midway through the first period, he looks at his dad and says, "Dad, are all the games this boring?" And I'm like, that is a major concern to me for the game of hockey. Because normally 8-year-old kids, man, they're on the edge of their seat. They're in the building. They're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And he's a big hockey fan. He's like, "Dad, this game's boring." Now, obviously last night maybe is not the best example of it. But, you know, when you've been shut out now 8 times, 5 of them at home, and, you know, you look at a lot of the NHL games, I just wonder if the entertainment value, if people are starting to think, it's not like it was as far as just pure entertainment goes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The team's not winning, and I think it's fair for fans in this town to start to get a little bit bored of meaningless hockey. I think that's totally fair. I mean, you have to keep, especially when ticket prices are where they are, you can't just expect people to be interested because they love hockey. I mean, eventually that kind of runs out, and playing meaningful hockey isn't not just for the players in the room, but for the fan base, to rejuvenate a fan base. And this fan base has just been beaten down. So, yeah, I mean, I don't blame people for feeling that way. I would have a hard time paying for tickets to go and watch that kind of that. Not necessarily the night in, night out, whether the play is that entertaining, but just the fact that it's meaningless. Game after game, it's just meaningless. And that's got a weigh on people. So it behooves the organization to pull itself out and give its fan base something to be willing to pay for. And they know that. They're working on it, but it's been way too long since people have got their money's worth at Rexall Place late in an NHL season.
Dallas Eakins, after the game, and that was an offensive game to watch for fans, no doubt. It was not a great game. After the game, said, "We have some offensive players. We're not an offensive team." And, man, I
yeah.
tweeted that out, and the back fans were riled right up. And I'm kind of like, have you not? This team has not been an offensive team under Rennie or Kruger or Eakins. Because they don't have
yeah.
enough talent throughout the lineup. I was surprised by how much, like, it's almost like people think, okay, well, we've got Hall, Nugent, Hopkins, Eberle, so yes, they're an offensive team. But after those guys and David Perron this year, they're not, and not close, especially on
yeah.
the back end.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I thought when I heard the comments. And I understand why Dallas said it. I understand what he means. They've been shut out 8 times this year. They're not exactly shooting the lights out. So Dallas means we have some good offensive players on this team, but we're not a very offensive team, and he's right. But my concern there would be, well, what the heck are you? Because you certainly can't play defense. No question about that. They certainly are not a physical team. They're certainly not a lunch bucket, hardworking Phoenix Coyotes, Calgary Flames. They're not that team either. So that was kind of supposed to be their calling card, was a real good young offensive team that they needed to round out with some identity and some other parts. That was supposed to be what this team was about. And so to not be an offensive team, well, they're not anything else. So what is the identity? And the answer to that is nothing. It's zero. And that's a problem. So I can see why fans are kind of going, what the heck? Like, we're not an offensive team, then what are we? And the answer is a team without an identity. And they're probably sick of hearing that, but that's just confirmed last night by the coach.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. And now it's one game, and, you know, the team went in and they had won 5 of 7. Granted, they were outshot in every game, but they still won 5 of 7. The defensive mistakes last night, Ryan, and not so much defensive mistakes, but the lack of just picking up a guy and making it hard for the other team to get to the net or score to the net, to me, is the biggest concern I have of this team, is they have way too many players who just flat out aren't competitive enough.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not sure where that's going to come from. I'm not sure how that just develops all of a sudden. I think they need new players. I mean, I think that's flat out. You just need different players. So I think that I think the organization feels reasonably good about what it has coming with regard to the defensemen and the competitiveness. And I think that these players that we see here now, I think are kind of like, they're kind of like stopgap. They're kind of like, you know, spackle. And I just don't think it's any permanent solutions. Belloff is not a permanent solution, and nor is Larson, nor is Potter. I'm not sure about a guy like Petrie. I think there's probably a fit for him here as long as he's not playing in the role he's in now. But they need to change out some of these players. And so when Darnell Nurse is a regular on this team, there'll be more competitiveness there. Not sure about Klefbom. Haven't seen enough of him yet in person to really know what he brings. If they keep guys like Fraser or a guy or two of that ilk around. But the simple fact is, the mix they have right now, they're just not going to be that way. It's just not there. You can't turn a tree into a stone. It is what it is. These guys are not that way. And I guess it just needs to be accepted that you can't make them be something they're not. This idea of team toughness and doing it it's just not going to happen. It's not. Some guys are going to do it. Some guys are going to be afraid to do it. That's the way it is. That's the way it's been here all along. Nobody's growing and getting tougher because of who they have around them. They are what they are.
How many defensemen right now do you think are here in October next year?
Well, run down the lineup. Justin Schultz will be around. I believe Jeff Petrie will be around. Andrew Ferentz will be around.
Is that it?
I think Martin Marincin will be around.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Marincin's been a good – I think he's been a pleasant surprise. I think he's showing he belongs. So I would add him to the list as well. You can probably cut it off about there, though. I think that's probably where it ends. Then you add Klefbom potentially to the mix. We'll see if Darnell Nurse makes the team. Mark Fraser, let's see what he does for the next 20 games. Maybe he's the type of guy that they bring back in the exact same role. But the Belloffs and the Grebishkovs and the Larsons and the Potters and the Schultzes, all those guys, to me, that's just all chaff that's just got to be cut. And it will be.
The thing is, so you got Petrie, Marincin, and Schultz,
yeah,
right? None of them are physical.
Yeah.
Right? And so then the other two defensemen you need to bring in, like ideally they need someone in their top three who's a top three defenseman who has an edge. And maybe that's Darnell Nurse in a few years, but it's like, I don't think Darnell's is, I don't, there's no way, Ryan, you can have Nurse, Klefbom, Marincin, and Schultz on your team next year, unless you're planning on finishing in the bottom five, because that's four defensemen with less than 120 games experience. And to me, you're just asking for trouble if you do that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Doesn't seem like it would be a good idea. Now, Nurse, next year, he is eligible to go to the American League, is he not?
No, he'd be like Pietrangelo. He'd have to play 2 years of junior.
He'd have to play 2 years of junior, yeah. So you're faced with either leaving him in junior another year, and that'll probably end up being one of those unfortunate cases where truly the player's best place for development would be the American Hockey League if he's not quite ready for the NHL game. But I mean, there needs to be a trade. They're not going to be able to fill in all the spots with what they have coming. There's no way. They've got too many. So that spot you're talking about, that needs to be a trade. That needs to be that fundamental shift in Rob from Peter to pay Paul, take away from the offense to add to the back end. They need to trade for a top three or four defenseman and add him to the mix. And that you would think, or you would hope, would be the guy that maybe brought a little bit of that as well. So that's got to be target number one, you'd think.
Well, yeah, that's the target. I'm just not sure how easy it's going to get to.
Good luck finding.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't see the only way they get a trade of a defenseman who's a number three, maybe like a low end number two, is if they trade one of Yakupov or Eberle. I don't see anybody else in the organization who they could move that could command that, unless they're willing to move like Marinson and someone else for a veteran defenseman who's 27 years of age or older.
Yeah, I hear you. And I don't know. I mean, you run down the list, and it's a tough thing to go out and find. Or do you maybe try and find someone who's 22, 23, and a few years ahead of where Nurse is right now, and growing into that role a little bit? You know, who. Maybe somebody who isn't quite what they're going to be yet, but you think you can help them shift their development curve a little bit, you know, like, I don't know, like Eric Goodbranson maybe out of Florida, right? There's a guy that probably hasn't met expectations for where he was drafted and what they thought he would be, but he's a big, rangy guy that can skate and is not afraid, drops the gloves, he's tough. Maybe a guy like that is a reclamation project. You bring him in and help him turn that curve the right way, and now you've got your useful part. I don't know what the cost would be, but my point is, maybe you're not trading for the polished, finished product. Maybe there's some development still that needs to be done, and that's how you find your guy.
It's a long process for Craig McTavish. That's all I know.
And he's going to need his pro scouts' help. He's going to need everybody pitching in, saying with every bit of information they have about every single guy on every single team, all the way across the league.
Well,
they need to identify some of those guys, and Craig McTavish is a pretty capable guy, but even he can't necessarily know every single thing there is to know about 700 players. So it needs to be a joint effort, and the Oilers need to, for once, be ahead of the curve on somebody. They need to be ahead of the curve on somebody and know things that other people don't, and squeak somebody out who everybody thought, where everybody goes, huh, didn't know that guy was available. When was the last time they did something like that? Perron was good. Perron was very good. But they need to do that with a defenseman.
It is going to be a long process. I think there is no doubt about that. Shogger, have a good night, and you'll be watching lacrosse on TSN tonight, I'm guessing.
Absolutely, for sure. And, hey, enjoy your weekend, buddy.